Well, howdy y'all. Welcome to Once Upon a Time in Texas. This is episode number 64. I'm your host, Michael Mitchell. Real quick, just a couple of random things. It's been a wild couple of days. Nothing bad. Just, I don't know. I had a friend describe it as just weird. Just had a few things going on, helping a friend out. He's going to have a career change from what he's doing, and spent some time with him, and had one of my other best friends. Some dude just kind of randomly showed up in their yard the other day, and then there's been break-ins all around their neighborhood, and they've got a little bit of property behind their house, and apparently this guy's cut the fence over there, and it's just like it's a whole thing. And then, yeah, so and then they've got a rental home that they have on the list to do some fixing up, and police contacted them the other day, and they're like, we got drug dealers in that place. We're going to go get them out. And they're like, what? So, yeah. And then I've got a few tenants that are moving out, so I'm having to go through the process of, you know, getting the places cleaned and all that. Anyway, it's just been, you know, it is Wednesday evening at 9:30 currently, and normally I have these podcasts out and ready to go on Tuesday so that they can post Wednesday morning, and you know, it just didn't happen, and I'll just say I'm so sorry. But you know, I've had some friends in need, and I've been out helping folks, and had a few things, you know, lots going on with the kids right now, and so just been in and out a lot, and you know, not complaining. It just is what it is. So I hope you guys understand that I'm getting this out. This is my first time in 64 episodes that I've got it out late. But here we go. So have you ever visited a company and bought a product and kind of wondered how long the company has been around? Let's explore some of the oldest companies in Texas. So, of course, before we take a look at some of the oldest companies in Texas, I want to thank our sponsors, me and Victory Home Loans. I know there are tons of people moving to and in Texas and Oklahoma. If you know anybody, send them my way. Send them over to themichaelmitchell.com, themichaelmitchell.com. Victory Home Loans is currently licensed in 15 states. And so if I'm not licensed in your or your friend or family's state, we might be registered in another one. And so let me know and we can get you hooked up with the right folks. Love helping people get into homes of their own. And remember, I sell dreams, not mortgages. So there you go. So where did this week's idea come from? Well, a friend and I were talking about some companies here in town and about how long they've been around. And that got me thinking about, you know, some of the oldest companies in Texas. But first, of course, is always a rabbit hole. So I had to look up the oldest company in the world, and it is a company called Kongo Gumi, which I believe is in either Japan or China. I don't remember. I didn't get that far. It was founded in 578, the official company, founded in 578 with the Shinteno Ji Temple as its first project. The Kongo Gumi, and Kongo is with a K, and I'm probably not saying that right because there's a little swish over the O, and I don't know what that means. But it is widely considered the oldest company in the world, operational for a staggering 1,445 years and counting. Could you imagine being the president of a company and being like, yeah, I'm a 37th generation owner. Or whatever, however many generations that ends up being. It's a bunch, though. Man, that would be kind of cool. What's even worse, could you imagine being the guy to shut it down if it went under? You know, gosh almighty, we've been around almost 1,500 years, and you're the guy that screws it up? I don't know, but apparently the company's still going strong. So that's great. Then I got to looking, so let's look at the United States. This designation as the oldest company in the United States goes to the Shirley Plantation, and it began operating almost 400 years ago in 1638. The Shirley Plantation is the oldest family-owned business in the United States and the oldest active plantation in Virginia, which I just think's fascinating. Plantation was not the thing that crossed my mind. I guess it should have, but I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking maybe it would be, but I honestly kind of figured it'd be like a grist mill or something, or a flour mill. But anyway, let's focus on Texas, all right? So I have found 9 of the oldest companies in Texas. However, full disclosure, some of them are based here in Texas now, but they didn't start here, and so I'm going to talk about a few of those. But here they are. Number one that I can find is called Cooper Industries. It was started in 1833 in Houston, or it's based in Houston, Texas now. Cooper Industries was founded in 1833 by brothers Charles and Elias Cooper, and the company started as a foundry located in Mount Vernon, Ohio, and was initially called the C&E Cooper Company. Cooper's initial product offer included plows, hog troughs, kettles, and stoves. And by the mid-19th century, or mid-1800s, the company was concentrating on steam engines. As the use of steam power declined in the late 1800s, Cooper again shifted its focus, this time to gas engine technology. By the time the 20th century arrived, Cooper Industries had become the American leader in pipeline compression engines and products that enabled the development of the growing oil and gas industry. This period was also highlighted by a merger with the Bessemer Gas Engine Company, yielding a new company called Cooper Bessemer. In the 1940s, Cooper Bessemer played a role in the U.S. World War II effort, supplying engine components that powered almost all of the ships in the Navy's minesweeper fleet, as well as the famous Liberty ships, which carried 75% of the cargo used by the Allied Armed Forces. After the war, Cooper Bessemer again embarked on an effort to diversify itself in a changing world economy. So as the company looked to increase its portfolio, Cooper expanded its offering into electrical products, electrical power equipment, automotive products, tools, and hardware. As I'm reading this, I'm just thinking, these guys were just on the cutting edge of everything starting in the 1830s. I mean, you know, they start off doing, you know, plows, hog troughs, kettles, and stoves, which were all, you know, big technology, of course, in the 1830s. And then they switched to steam engines, which is big technology. And then they switched to gas engine, which is big technology. And then they switch into compression engines for oil and gas, big technology, and then U.S. war effort. So they end up going into other stuff after World War II, electrical products, electrical power equipment, which not new technology, but expanding technology, right, in the 1940s. Automotive products, tools, and hardware. And so there's even a history that talks about the company's 150th anniversary and other acquisitions and stuff that goes on. And in the last decade of the 20th century, so late 1900s, Cooper underwent a period of portfolio rationalization, reducing its exposure to more cyclical industries such as automotive and petroleum. Ultimately, Cooper merged, focused on two business segments that remain in the portfolio today, which is an electrical products group and an energy and safety solutions group. And anyway, it says that they had kind of reincorporated whatever in Bermuda from Ohio. And I'm not sure where that comes from, because everything I found showed that they were based in Houston now. So anyway, now they are part of the, I call it Eaton. Some people call it Eaton, E-A-T-O-N. They're a part of that acquisition. Or I'm sorry, Eaton bought out Cooper Industries. So it's still going, but they're just under a different company name. So interesting stuff. Number two is Imperial Sugar, started in 1843. This is a Texas company. It is a major U.S. sugar producer and marketer based in Sugar Land, Texas. With sugar refinery operations in California, Georgia, and Louisiana, the company was established in 1843 and has undergone ownership changes multiple times. The current name, Imperial Sugar Company, was established after a change in ownership in 1907. The company went through major expansion through acquisitions beginning in 1988, but actually filed bankruptcy in 01, emerging in the same year and embarking on a downsizing strategy. In May 2012, the company was purchased by the Louis Dreyfus Group of the Netherlands. And in November 2022, Dreyfus sold Imperial to U.S. Sugar. Number three is the Pioneer Flour Mill, started in 1851 in Fredericksburg, Texas. The flour mill that Carl Hilmar Gunther built in San Antonio in 1859 is still there in the same spot, much updated, of course, and it's now part of a giant international corporation. Mr. Gunther left Germany for America when he was just 22 years old. The year was 1846. He left without telling his parents he was going for fear that they would try to stop him. So there's a whole history about him. Oh, here it is. I knew I put it down. He sailed for America because he thought the future was limited in Germany, and he wrote that he felt hemmed in and that there was little freedom and nothing was happening. America, with its promise of infinite opportunities, called to him. If I cannot see the world in my youth, he told his parents, then life won't mean much to me. He arrives in New York. He works briefly as a laborer and then went on to Wisconsin, where he worked in a farming setting and sawmills. The game changer came when he was able to buy a set of carpenter tools for $30. With those tools, he was no longer a laborer. He owned a business. So then he heads south down to Mississippi, where he builds houses and barns and cabinets. But he didn't much care for the plantation society he found there. After about 4 years, he thought he might go back to Germany, but first he wanted to see this beautiful place he'd heard so much about called Texas. In San Antonio, he learns about this little thriving German community called Fredericksburg, and he went there and discovered that they needed a flour mill to process local grain. He had learned the milling trade from his father back in Germany, so he set about building a mill on Live Oak Creek. And after borrowing money from his father to buy 150 acres of land, Gunther hired local men on promissory notes, guaranteeing future payment, further helping him build a dam, a water wheel, and a mill. Gunther was so honest and reliable that his notes were used in the area as a trustworthy currency. That's a lot. He marries, he has children. Because of the success of the mill, he quickly became one of the wealthiest families in Fredericksburg. After a flood destroys the dam and damages his mill, he rebuilt it and thought he should build another one in San Antonio because the city would soon have a population of 10,000 people. It was 1859 and the little city was already bustling and a promising market. So also the San Antonio River was a much more reliable water source. So with the help of the Alsatian immigrants from nearby Castroville, Gunther builds his new mill. He paid for their labor in part with flour futures, the guarantee of future product they'd need, and Gunther wrote to his mother that San Antonio was about one-third Mexican, one-third German, and one-third Anglo. His son, he noted, spoke Spanish, English, and German, sometimes all in the same sentence. That's pretty crazy. The mill Gunther built in 1859 is still there in the same spot. And again, like I said, much updated. It's now a part of a giant international corporation. It's doing business now as the C.H. Gunther and Son, and is one of the oldest continuous operating businesses in Texas. You can go there today and tour Pioneer Mills and the original Gunther House, which is now an exquisite museum and restaurant. So that's a pretty big deal. So Number three is the NOV Inc., 1862, currently based in Houston. It was formerly the National Oil Well Varco and is an American multi-international company based in Houston, Texas. It is a worldwide provider of equipment and components used in the oil and gas drilling and production operations, oil field services, and supply chain integration services to the upstream oil and gas industry. And it conducts operations in more than 500 locations across six continents, operating through three reporting segments, which is Rig Technologies, Wellbore Technologies, and Completion and Production Solutions. So, of course, one of the oldest would be oil and gas, right? Well, let's go on to number five, CenterPoint Energy. Officially started in 1882, also based in Houston. It is an American electric and natural gas utility serving several markets in the American states of Indiana, Ohio, Louisiana, Minnesota, Mississippi, and Texas. It is part of the Fortune 500, and the company was formerly known as Reliant Energy, from which it is now separated. The company is headquartered in the CenterPoint Energy Tower at 1111 Louisiana Street in downtown Houston. Number six, Dr. Pepper. Officially started 1885 in Waco, Texas. Dr. Pepper is a carbonated soft drink for you sinners out there that do not know what it is. It was created in the 1880s by pharmacist Charles Alderton in Waco, Texas, of course, and first served around 1885. Dr. Pepper was first nationally marketed in the United States in 1904. It is now sold in Europe, Asia, North and South America. In Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa, Dr. Pepper is sold as an imported good, and then variants include Diet Dr. Pepper, and they have lines of additional flavors. Although Dr. Pepper has similarities to cola, the American Food and Drug Administration has ruled that Dr. Pepper is not a cola, nor is it a root beer, nor is it considered a fruit-flavored soft drink. Rather, Dr. Pepper is said to be in a category of its own kind called pepper soda, which is named for the brand. Other soft drinks in this category, such as Dublin Original and Mr. Pibb, have a similar flavor profile. Dr. Pepper is the fourth highest selling carbonated soft drink in the United States and sixth in the United Kingdom. And I'm pretty sure I should have bought stock in it when I married my wife because she drinks it like it is going out of style. Number seven, Marathon or Marathon Oil. Started in 1887, based in Houston, Texas. It began as the Ohio Oil Company in 1887. So I'm assuming that it started in Ohio. In 1889, the company was purchased by a guy named John D. Rockefeller and his Standard Oil Company. It remained part of Standard Oil until Standard Oil was broken up in 1911. In 1930, the Ohio Oil Company bought the Transcontinental Oil Company and established the Marathon brand name. In 1962, the company changed its name to Marathon Oil Company, and the headquarters moved to Houston, Texas in the 1990s. Number eight, Acme Brick. 1891 is when it was founded, currently headquartered in or around Fort Worth. It is an American manufacturer and distributor of brick and mason-related construction products and materials. Founder George E. Bennett chartered the company as the Acme Pressed Brick Company on April 17, 1891 in Alton, Illinois, although the company's physical location has always been in Texas. That's what their history said. The company grew to become the largest American-owned brick manufacturer by the mid-20th century and was the first of its type to offer a 100-year limited guarantee to its customers. Acme Brick was officially purchased by Berkshire Hathaway on August 1st, 2000. Number 9, Lennox International. If you don't know who Lennox is, they make HVAC, air conditioning, all kinds of refrigeration stuff. And God bless the people who came up with air conditioning, because it makes summer in Texas for my chubby butt bearable. 1895, based in Richardson, Texas. Company was founded in 1895 in Marshalltown, Iowa, by a guy named Dave Lennox, the owner of a machine repair business for railroads. Inventors Ezra William Smith and Ernest Bryant brought their idea for a riveted steel coal-fired furnace to his machine shop to build parts for a prototype. In lieu of payment, Lennox accepted their patent, obtaining rights to the idea. He founded the Lennox Furnace Company, improving the design that led to numerous advancements in heating, cooling, and climate control solutions. The company was sold in 1904 to D.W. Norris, who managed the company until his death in 49, following which ownership devolved to his descendants, who continued to hold a prominent position in the company in the following decades. And they are a huge HVAC and refrigeration company now, serving many different countries. Number 10, and our final one for today, Marshall Pottery. They do have an interesting history, so I'll spend a little more time on it. Marshall Pottery Inc. is the largest manufacturer of red clay pots in the United States. From 1974 to 2015, Marshall Pottery operated a 100,000 square foot retail store adjacent to its headquarters in Marshall, Texas, which at one time attracted over a 500,000 tourists each year. It was founded by a guy named W.F. Rocker in Marshall, Texas in 1895. Rocker located the business in East Texas because of its abundant water and white clay deposits. In 1905, Marshall Pottery was acquired by Sam Ellis. With the invention of the glass canning jar and other new competing products in the 1920s, the business almost folded. But here's the fun part. Prohibition led to a thriving moonshine industry and a need for inexpensive jugs to store the liquor in. If not for the sale of jugs during Prohibition, Marshall Pottery would likely have gone bankrupt. In the 1940s, with the discovery of a clay that required a lower firing temperature, the pottery company began producing flower pots. For many years, the company continued to employ potters as its primary means of manufacturing. One of these employees, Pete Payne, became a master potter and displayed his technique at the Smithsonian Institution. Since the construction of a new facility in 1998, most of the pottery's production has become automated. However, handmade pottery can still be purchased and tourists can still watch potters create it. That's fascinating. And I love that they pivoted and sold moonshine jugs. Kept them afloat, man. Like, that's cool. And then they pivot again and start making flower pots. And I read somewhere else that, like, the majority of flower pots that you find in the United States are still made by Marshall Pottery. And I just think that's cool. So there you go. What do y'all think? 10 of the oldest companies headquartered here in Texas, with a few that started here. Let me know what you think. What other weird, off-the-wall, or interesting Texas history you'd like to hear about? I want to thank our sponsors again, me and Victory Home Loans. Keep in mind, if you know someone moving to or in Texas and now Oklahoma, send them my way, themichaelmitchell.com, themichaelmitchell.com. Remember, I sell dreams, not mortgages. Thank you all for tuning in to Once Upon a Time in Texas. As always, remember, the stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. Y'all have a great week.